Well, this morning we're going to be spending most of our time looking at the gospel reading, and in particular the story that Jesus tells to Simon and the other Pharisees. It's tempting to spend some time in the Old Testament with Ahab, the most petulant king perhaps in the history of kingdom, as he sulked away and his wife had to solve problems in the worst possible way for him. But instead, we're going to look at this interesting story that Jesus tells when he goes to have dinner with some Pharisees. And it's not unusual for Jesus to go and have dinner with Pharisees, or anyone else for that matter. Jesus was both giving and receiving hospitality in his entire life, and he certainly didn't turn away from anyone. But we have this peculiar experience, perhaps, of him as he's having dinner, reclining at the table with these other people when a woman comes in, a woman with a scarlet past, as I'm sure it might have been described at some point, an immoral woman, as it's sometimes translated, who anoints Jesus' feet with her tears and with perfume. And the Pharisees, in particular the one who invited him, says to himself, I like that, says to himself, no doubt out loud, muttering away, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is teaching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus uses this as sort of the catalyst for a teaching through the form of a story on, well, a number of things. Self-awareness, perhaps, the need for grace and forgiveness. And that's where the sermon title comes from, Who Needs Grace More? And so Jesus says, there's a story I want to tell you. Two men owed money to a money lender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And I mean, what a denarius is and all that is hardly important. One owed 10 times more than the other. We can turn it into whatever we want, into current currency if we wish. One owed $50 and the other 500, or one owed 50,000 and the other 500,000. What difference does it make? What we have is two people in debt who were unable to pay back the debt. And back then, the inability to pay back a debt was a little more significant than it is now. I mean, now if you're really stuck, you can declare bankruptcy and start again. Back then, if you couldn't pay back your debts, it wasn't unheard of for you to be thrown in jail and your family sold into slavery to take care of the debt. So this was a big deal. But when neither of them could pay back this moneylender, the moneylender canceled the debts of both, which is an extraordinary thing in and of itself, but there you have it. And then Jesus asks a very interesting question. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replies, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. I suppose, sort of a way of hedging your bets, I suppose, in case Jesus was being tricky. Of course it's the one who was forgiven more. That only makes sense. That's only human nature. And what I want us to think about is, when we think of this story, who do we think we are in the story? Where do we place ourselves? We can look at ourselves perhaps from the perspective of people who were raised in the church, if that was our experience, who came to a meaningful faith in God at a young age, understood our need for that, and did something about it. And so we might look at ourselves as the one who owed 50 of these denarii, that we understood we had a debt, but it wasn't that big, because really, you know, what did we do before? And what do we need forgiveness for? How many things? And that wouldn't be an unreasonable assessment for some of us, to place ourselves there. But the interesting thing is, because it's a story, it doesn't have anybody's name on it, we can choose which one we are. We can choose which of these two people we decide to identify with. And the thing to remember is that when we choose in these sorts of things, it affects a whole bunch of other things. And if we choose wrongly, or if we choose perhaps the less helpful way of thinking of things, it affects a lot of things. And one of the things that, one of the problems that we run into, if we choose to identify with the person who owed 50, is that it puts us in the position, perhaps, of, well, judging other people. I don't want to read too much into the story that isn't there, but it's not out of the question that the person who was in debt for 50 denarii, even after this debt was canceled, could still look down at least a little bit on the one who owed 500. Which wouldn't be right. Like, why would you look down on someone else who owes more money than you do? You don't know everything that went into that. And that would be unhelpful. Looking down on someone else who receives the same kind of, in this case, grace, because obviously it's an image of grace, looking down on someone else certainly isn't helpful and isn't going to help your own spiritual life to be judgmental. But you could also, if you identify with the person who has been forgiven 50, it's not out of the question that you could look to the person who'd been given 500 almost with a sense of jealousy, almost with a sense of, this person's been forgiven so much. They have so much more to be thankful for. I have barely anything at all. Which is also an unhelpful way to think about it. And the reason why I bring these up is not because I think necessarily that anybody is going to choose that one over the other, but just as a reminder that when we start looking at the differences between what people have been forgiven in this case, if we're not careful, it can lead us into places that, well, it's not really helpful for us. If we choose instead to identify with the person who was forgiven 500 denarii, I think it certainly leads us into the point that Jesus is making, that we will realize that whoever has forgiven us this massive debt, 10 times more than someone else's, is deserving of our love, our respect, our gratitude. But when we look at the story from another perspective, of the two, who needs grace more? Well, it's a trick question, as so many questions are when they show up in sermon titles. As I'm sure you figured out by now, sermon titles that are questions are never just looking for an answer. It's all about helping us to think in different ways. Because who needs grace more? Well, they both do. Because the need for grace isn't really addressed by a more or less. If we use the image of this story, we had two people who had a debt they couldn't repay. If you can't repay a debt, it doesn't matter how big it is. Relative size of debt that you can't deal with is irrelevant. The fact that I can't pay back $50 that I owe somebody doesn't mean that really anything that, compared to someone who can't pay back $500. If you can't, you can't. This is one of those things that people sometimes struggle with. I remember once having a lengthy conversation with someone who thought this particular statement that I'm about to relate to you was insane. And I said, if you only have $450, if somebody wants to sell you a brand new car for $500, it's still too expensive. And they said, that's stupid. It's not too expensive. It's only $500 for a brand new car. I said, yeah, but if you only have $450, it's still too expensive for you. What it might be for someone else is irrelevant because you're talking about your own experience. And in this case, we're talking about these two individual experiences. Which of them needed this debt forgiven more? We have no idea. All we know about them is that they were unable to pay back this debt, whatever it was for them. And when it was canceled, it's quite possible that the one who had the larger debt would love this person more. But let's not lose sight of the fact that both of them had the debt canceled. And I don't want us to think even for a moment that Jesus missed his own point, because of course he didn't. But because we're looking at this story from our perspective, It's easy for us to fall into some traps about where we fit. For a period of time, I stopped telling people sort of my past. Not that I was ashamed of it, or suddenly became ashamed of it, but because every so often when I would, I'd be invited to talk about my story and how I came to this stage of life, whenever that stage was, I would have people afterwards who would say they felt bad because they never had anything like that. That their story of coming to faith in Jesus, coming to faith in God through Jesus, was boring. It didn't have anything interesting in it. And I stopped telling mine because I thought, if my experience, which is only my experience, I don't hold it up or push it down, it's just what is. If this somehow makes people feel badly about their own, I'm just going to stop telling mine. If I'm one of those people who was forgiven 500 denarii, I don't want people who are still forgiven 50 to think that what they received was nothing. Because we're not in the position of being these Pharisees. At least I hope we're not. We're not the people who are spending our time trying to assess where everyone fits on a sliding scale of sinfulness. And so we look at that person and go, oh, they're terribly sinful, therefore they are going to be forgiven more and all of that. I don't think we're there. So when I was looking at this text, the story that Jesus told to make a point to Simon, to the Pharisees, is a story that we can take on and see something at least slightly different. And we can see that we all need all the grace we need. That all of us need to be forgiven all of the sin that we have. And if we look at this story from the perspective of a generous, or look at it focusing on a generous moneylender, if we look at this story saying that no matter what we've done, whether it's big or small, complete forgiveness is available to all of us. The grace of God that passes all understanding, it says in Scripture, is available to us, no matter what we owe. I think that's a better takeaway for this story for us in this time. We're not interested in seeing exactly how much Jesus can forgive. We're interested in how much we can be forgiven. If I've been forgiven 500 denarii, or 50 denarii, or one, it's been forgiven. The debt is gone. The grace that was extended to me is the same grace extended to you. And whatever your debt might have been, to put it in these terms, whatever amount it was, it's forgiven. And we are all at the same spot. Who needs grace more? All of us. Who needs grace the most? All of us. Who needs more grace? All of us. We can look at this story and many other stories in Scripture, and we can, as I said, we can place ourselves in these stories. That's one of the wonders of parables and stories. We can see, where do we fit? And if we're going to look at this story in our context, we need to realize that we kind of fit in both places. Because compared to some people, I have been forgiven much. But compared to others, I've been forgiven next to nothing. Neither of which changes the fundamental reality that I have been forgiven, and so have you. And that's what I want us to take away from this story today. The unshakable realization that whatever we owed, whatever we'd done, we couldn't repay and we couldn't deal with on our own. It took grace. But that grace was there and sufficient for each of us. All of us brought a debt to Jesus. And all of us had it completely forgiven. How much was canceled? Does it matter? I don't think so. Those debts were canceled for each of us. and will be continued to be canceled whenever we come before God in confession, whenever we ask for that forgiveness. It's there always. Whether it's a lot or a little doesn't make any difference. We all need that same forgiveness. The amount just doesn't matter. Amen.